John 14, and I want to try to encourage us. Did y'all know preachers need encouragement? And preachers' wives need encouragement? We're not always happy. I wished I was. I don't always have a smile on my face. I go through, I'm susceptible to the same problems of life that you are. I'm not immune just because I'm a preacher, just because God called me to preach. Guess what? I'm not always the perfect husband. Now, I know you'd have a hard time believing that. But Pam could tell you that I'm not, hopefully she won't tell you all of my faults and failures in 51 years of marriage. If she does, we might have a problem. No. But I'm not perfect. I have problems just like you. I have family problems like you. I've had financial problems like you. I have physical problems like you. As I get older, I have more physical problems, you know. And that gets kind of complicated. My mom said when she turned 80, she was either at the doctor or the hospital. That was her two places of destination. And so as we get older, we do have problems. But in John 14, God, Jesus Christ, I know in particular he's speaking to his disciples. But do you think maybe this chapter could apply and help us today? Sure it could. It can help us today. We can look at some of these things that I hope will be an encouragement to our lives, that I hope will lift us up. And you'll have to say that we are living in troubled times. We are living in troubled times. There is trouble on every hand. As Paul was, we are distressed sometimes. We are perplexed. We are cast down. And it seems like as time goes on, it gets worse. You know why it seems like that? Because it is. It's a promise of God. Things are going to wax or grow worse and worse as time goes on. Hey, you know what? The reason we have trouble in life as children of God is because we are opposed. Don't forget about that. We are opposed. There is opposition in our life. There's the devil that is fighting us and his army. The demons of hell, if you'll let me put it that way, his army is opposing Christianity and opposing the truth, and he's fighting everybody who is trying to put forth the truth of God's word. He's fighting Pioneer Baptist Church. He's fighting your pastor and his family. He's fighting you and your family. That's right. And you say, well, why do we have to have problems? Why do we have to have trouble? Because we're in a war. We're not necessarily a physical war, but a spiritual war. And the prince of this age, the prince of this era, who is that? Satan, right? God has given him limited power, but he does have power, don't he? And so we're in a battle. That's one of the reasons why we have problems in life, because we are opposed. But in John 14, just these are very simple things but I hope it will help us and realize what we have as children of God, and that it will encourage us and help us along the way. And John 14, verse 1, and we'll just go through these, stopping a few verses along the way in this chapter, and hopefully bring some things out to our attention that will help us. Jesus says this, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me." Now, I'm glad my belief in God goes far beyond a head knowledge. Believe, if you look up the word believe and study the word believe, it can mean this, complete and total trust, and to put your trust and faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior. It's, you know, I talk to a lot of people in this day in which we live, and if God opens the door to talk to them about whether they are saved or not, or about their spiritual condition or whatever, I don't find many people that don't believe in God. They believe in God. I have them often to say, I believe in God. And they'll even say this, I pray to God. But they have no idea, no concept about forgiveness of sins, about salvation, about Jesus as our Savior. They have no concept or idea or anything, don't know anything about that or whatever. But there's a lot of people that believe in God in that respect. They believe there is a God. And they're kind of counting on God to help them. Else why would they pray to God, right? But it's just a head knowledge. It's not anything that they have put their faith and trust in. In other words, they don't really trust him. And the first point we see there in 14:1 is this. Trust is a must. If we're going to enjoy all of these other things in life that I'm going to mention this morning, and I tried to teach this at Shippensburg on Sunday morning, I think it was. But if we're going to enjoy the other points, if God allows me to get to them today, the first thing we have to do is trust God. Hey, can I say something that might shock you? Sometimes, even as a Christian, it's hard to trust God. You say, oh, preacher, I'm more spiritual than that. Well, Lord bless you. I'm glad for you. I'm happy for you if you have 100% total, complete trust. If you've been saved 104 years, and there's never been a day or a moment or a second or a time or an hour that you have not completely trusted God, that you have understood everything that he's doing. You said, here I am, Lord. Whatever it is, I trust you. Go ahead, have at it. I'm with it. But a lot of times as Christians, we'll draw this little spiritual circle around us and we'll say this, Lord, I'll do anything you want me to as long as I can stay inside of my circle. Right? You know, we'll say, Lord, I'll go wherever you send me as long as it ain't over 10 miles outside of Thurmont. Amen. We say we trust God, but sometimes we don't live like we trust God. And I used this example last week, and I've used it a time or two before to illustrate complete trust. And it's like coming up to somebody, and I usually use Pam, and I pay her well. No, she takes care of me. If it wasn't for Pam, we would have nothing, and all her working years. But I walk up. You ever had anybody say this? Now close your eyes and open your mouth. I won't give you a surprise. You may not have ever heard anybody say that to you, but I want to tell you something. Brother Wilson, if somebody tells me to close my eyes and open my mouth and I'm going to give you a surprise, I probably ain't going to do it. You know why? There ain't many people I trust. I don't know. They might have castor oil behind their back. They might have a chocolate-covered grasshopper. I understand some people do eat those. I don't know. I don't think I could handle that. But that would exhibit trust, would it not? All right, when you come in this morning, I bet you say, we don't have assigned seating here at Pioneer. I bet you're sitting where you usually sit. Somebody gets your seat? That's a no-no in a Baptist church, amen. I was preaching at a church, Pastor, and Pam had to get up and move 3 times because she had somebody's seat. That's why I sit on the front row. Ain't nobody in the Baptist church going to sit on the front row. I don't get nobody's seat. Amen. That's right. It's basically like that everywhere I go. She said, where you want to sit? I said, sit on the front row. We won't get nobody's seat. But she had to get up and move 3 times. And I told her, I said, if you have to move 1 more time, we're going to move in the car seat. And we're leaving. And they'd get somebody else to preach. Amen?
That's right.
But I understand, you know, at my home church, sometimes I move around just to keep my pastor guessing. Of course, I ain't there enough. He don't know when I'm there or when I ain't there, because we're not there that much. I'm gone a lot of time. But, if you want to mess pastor's mind up, everybody just swap seats one day. He'll be looking, wonder where so-and-so's at. Wonder why they ain't here. He won't even know if you're here or not if you switch around seats, you know. But basically, y'all come in, you sit at the same place, sit on the same seat, and all that. But when you come in there and you slide in that pew and you sit down, what are you doing? You're trusting, right? Now, would you sit down in that seat if you thought it was going to topple over and fall backwards? I hope not. I hope not. But you're placing your trust that when you sit down, this pew is built to hold up your weight and to keep you from sitting in the floor. I remember years ago when I was working at the prison as a guard, and one of the convicts got sick, and I had to get another convict to go with me to carry him because he was out. He was in like a diabetic coma or something. And so I got a guy that we trusted and took him, and they sat in the back seat of the van. I didn't know it wasn't bolted down. And I was kind of in a hurry. And I took off pretty fast. And the next thing I looked in the rearview mirror, and Carrie's, the guy holding the sick guy, his feet were sticking straight up in the air. And he was hollering, "Slow down, Mr. Wall, you're going to kill us all." I'll never forget that, Carrie Williams. And the guy was sick, was Tom. Well, Carrie trusted that seat was going to hold them up all the way to the hospital, to the ER, but it didn't. But hey, Jesus said, you've got to trust. Look at that verse up there. I didn't even know that was up there until I just looked over. Trust in him when? At all times. Trust in him when things are good? Yeah. Trust in him when things are bad? Yes. Call him. He's a refuge. But trust is a must in our life. If we're going to get through troubled times, this ought to encourage us that Jesus said, if ye let not your heart be troubled, ye believe in God, and I do, and I've put my faith and trust in him, believe also in me. And I've often said this. We will trust God with our soul. Amen? But we won't trust him with our life. Our everyday life sometimes. We won't allow him to direct us. We won't trust him when things come in our life that we don't understand. But can I say this? You can trust him. He will not ever mistreat you as a child in any way. There may be some times when you think you're being mistreated. And maybe growing up in life, there were times when we think, my dad was mistreating me, amen. But God will not mistreat us in any way. He will not. He has made us promises, has he not? That all things, in Romans 8:28, if you didn't have nothing but that verse. But is that not a promise that God made to us? That all things will work together for good to them that love God? Yeah. And so we can be confident and we can be sure that God is going to take care of us. And so, number one, to be encouraged in life, trust is a must. I have problems every day in life. All different kinds. He was talking about a brother that just took a church. Hey, is that his first church? I don't know. Maybe, even if it ain't.
Yeah, it's first.
His first church? He's in for a different lifestyle. That unless you've done it, you can't explain it. You have to experience it. He's going to have to put a lot of trust in the Lord, just like we all are. Hey, we're going to have genuine faith. So, number one, here's the problem. Trust is a must. We've got to get that down. We've got to trust God. Number two is in verse 2. Jesus says this, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. Here's a promise that ought to encourage us. I have a place prepared where I'm always going to be close to my family. You said you enjoyed the time yesterday and maybe got to see some people you hadn't seen in a while. I found in our life, as we get older, we have three grandsons. I've talked about them here often. The oldest one is 34. The middle one is 31. And the youngest one is 28. We used to take those boys on vacation every year when they were smaller. Many years in a row. And man, we enjoyed that time mostly. I was always glad to take them back after about 3 or 4 days. We took them to Pennsylvania. We took them to Gettysburg. We took them to Hershey Park. We took them to other. They like theme parks. They like riding roller. Man, the hottest I've ever been was at Hershey Park in the summertime. It was like 102 that day. We were one of the few idiots out there. But we had the whole park just about to ourselves. Man, they could ride anything they wanted to because it was too hot to be there. And we were the only ones that didn't realize it. I went into a church on that Sunday morning, and man, everybody was fanning and sweating, men's coats hanging on that. I told Pam, I said, the air conditioning must be tore up. They didn't have no air conditioning. You know, they do now because they voted on it that Sunday. They did. Good Sunday to vote on it. I bet you nobody voted no. If you're going to put in a new AC, do it when it's 104 degrees, amen, and it's tore up. You'll get 100%. But we took it, and we so enjoyed that time. You know what? I miss that. You know why? They got busy. They got married. They had children. Now their lives consumed, their own lives consumed their time. Guess what? I don't hardly ever get to see them anymore. 2 or 3 times a year. Birthday, Christmas, Thanksgiving maybe. You can always get them together for a birthday because they want them presents. Amen. They want them loaded cards. Right? Pam says, you like this card? I said, look, honey, they don't care what kind of card you buy them. You can get them a Happy Mother's Day card on their birthday. They wouldn't know the difference, amen, because they're going to open, they're going to blow right by that, Brother Mike, because they're looking for that greenbacks. Amen. It's the right color and the right size. You don't have to return it. Men, that works with ladies, too. And Ulta cards. Y'all got an Ulta somewhere around here? Y'all know what Ulta is? That's where you get all that stuff that plumps your skin. Y'all need any skin plumping? Y'all look at me like, you know about skin plumping? Oh, yeah. I've bought a few cards at Ulta through the years. That works almost as good as money. I have to buy Pam Ulta cards because she won't go there and pay what they charge for their stuff. So I have to get it for her so she'll buy the stuff she likes. But I miss my family time. My mom and daddy's dead. Hadn't seen my mom in 6 years. Hadn't seen my dad in 17 years. Y'all remember when he used to come here and preach? I told Pam, I appreciate Pastor Wilson and you guys letting us come down on Thursday and spend a few extra days here. I told Pam, Brother Ronnie, my daddy slept right back here in that room. I don't know if my mama ever did. She didn't ever go with him much. I think they might have came one time with my aunt and uncle years ago when they were on vacation. I told Pam, I said, my daddy stood right there in that pulpit. That's right. I ain't seen him in 17 years. I ain't seen my mama in 6 years. Sometime I thought we was going to kill each other, me and my mama, because we were too much alike. We butted heads all the time. But I miss that. Even when our family gets together, we're not all together. My mother-in-law, Pam's mom, she's been dead since 98. She died at 59 with lung cancer. I miss going over to her house at Christmas and other times. And I can see her right now sitting at that kitchen table, that little old frame house on Mahone Street. Me and Pam right up there often, where she grew up at in Flat Rock. There's two Flat Rocks in North Carolina, one up near Asheville, and the real Flat Rock near Mount Airy, North Carolina. But I miss that. And I know some of y'all, you miss your loved ones and all of that. You miss your family time. And I can go back further than that. When I was a boy, when my grandma Wall, my daddy's mama, was still alive. And daddy, there were 12 children in his family. Two died young. 10 of them grew up and had families of their own. And when we'd go visit on Saturday, there'd be about 40 cousins running around in the yard playing, doing all kinds of stuff. We got in the creek, we got in the woods, we got in the mess. I don't know how. One time I got hold of a cigarette lighter and some lighter fluid. I was trying to set stuff on fire. You know, I missed that. Then now I have a spiritual family, right? But God has promised us a time as His children. Amen? Listen to me. Those of us that are saved, one of these days, our family's going to be reassembled.
That's right.
Amen. He said, sorrow not as others which have no hope. There is sorrow. There is sorrow. We cannot deny that. But I'm glad that He's fixed us a place. He's prepared us a place. He's given us a home. Where we can, if they're saved and you're saved, where we can be eternally close to our family, right? Hey, did y'all know there's no place like home? You've heard that old saying. There's no place like home. I remember when I was a young boy, and I was mama's pet. I was a middle child, but I was the favorite. And I made sure everybody knew it, including my older sister, my younger brother. I mean, mama, she spoiled me. That's why Pam's had such a hard time. 51 years, she's still working on me. She takes good care of me, though. I have to say, man, she reminds me all the stuff I need to do and writes me notes and tells me how to drive. And she does all this good, and sometimes it makes me mad. Amen. And it makes, you know, we'll be driving down the road. She'll say, "You going to stop?" And she'll save me from rear-ending somebody. And then I fuss at her because she kept me from wrecking. What's wrong with us? I said, "Who's driving this car, me or you? You want to drive, you want to get out? You get over here." You know, no. But she saves me a lot of time, and she works on me. She tries to keep me straight and all of that stuff. But when I was small, I was my mom's favorite. And when I got to the age where I felt brave enough to go spend the night with one of my friends, I don't know, probably 8, 9, or 10, I did fine during the day, Brother Tracy. Outside playing, mind occupied and all of that, you know, having a good time and all that. But night began to fall. And they would call us in to get ready for bed or whatever. And all of a sudden, I wasn't as brave as I thought I was. All of a sudden, it's like, I want to go home. I was mama's boy. I want to go home. I don't want to sleep in their bed. I don't want to be here anymore. The fun's over. You ever feel like that about the world? As you get old, now I'm not chasing down any ambulances. I'm not looking for a discount over to a funeral home, a walk-in discount. You know, I still enjoy life. It's not like I'm looking to die. I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to have to be honest with you. As I get older, heaven looking better. Amen. This world don't mean as much to me as it does you younger people. No. It means to me, hey, that I got a home. What's that old song says? I've got a home in glory land that outshines the sun. Hey, I'm glad that I have a... How wonderful it will be. There is no place like home. And man, I want to... There ain't... Listen to this. There ain't no bed like your bed. Even if you got a sorry mattress. And you wake up and your hips are hurting every morning. And your back. As we say at home, your neck, a leg, or back or something. If you need a translation, I'll give you that. I wasn't speaking in tongues. But if you don't have a good mattress, there ain't no place like your... I mean, man, y'all got a good place back here for us to sleep, a good bed, stayed up the wagons, a good place there. But you know what? When I get home tomorrow sometime, Lord willing, and I get in my bed tomorrow night, you know what I'm going to say? Whew, it's good to be home. Amen? Hey, man, I'm glad to be back in my bed. The older I get, the harder it is for me to travel and go and leave home and stay gone for a while. But God's given us a promise to encourage us, hey, we're not home yet, children. Right?
That's right.
I don't want to bust you young people's bubbles because I know you're still excited about life more so than I am, and you got more to look forward to as far as this world is concerned. How wonderful is it going to be one of these days to have a place close to my heavenly father, to my earthly father, to my family, to my friends. Man, I got some good friends that have gone on to heaven that are no longer around. And I miss them. But number two, he's fixed us a place close to our family. Isn't that a wonderful promise to have that we can revel in? Number three, he gives us another promise. He said, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Thank the Lord, we've got the promise of deliverance. The promise of deliverance. What a day that will be. Another song says, when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face. Well, that's going to be a great day, isn't it? We cannot even imagine, comprehend what's going to take place, as the song says, when we all, those that are saved, when we all get to heaven. Think about that. When we all get to heaven. Man, what a promise to get out of this world and out of all of this turmoil and all of this craziness just everything that's going on. I've said this so many times. I miss the country that I grew up in.
Sure.
Do y'all miss, you that are maybe my age or older or maybe even not quite as old as I am? I'm 69. Do y'all miss the country that you grew up in?
Yes.
I miss the country I grew up in as a young boy. Things were so much different. Man, I hate it that some of our young people will never get to experience some of the things that we did. I hate the fact that you will never get to experience life without a cell phone. I've had that, Brother Tracy. Now that I've got it, it would be hard to get it away from me. You too, because if you leave your house without your phone, I carry mine usually right here on my belt. If I reach down there and that phone ain't there, you think I was missing the kidney. Hey, man. You say, oh, Lord, I ain't got my phone. What am I going to do? What did you do when you were 16? You did a lot better. You know? What am I going to do if I have a flat tire? Fix it! What if I'm a woman? Hopefully some nice other woman will stop and fix it for you. Don't know if there's any nice men to stop and help you. But I hate that you, I hate that you young people are never going to get to grow up without a computer. I mean, y'all remember pre-computer days. Yeah, bunch of. How do y'all remember days before a calculator? Getting way down there now, amen. There's a few of us in here still. How many of y'all remember when you had to work out your math problems on your paper and prove your answer? Those were horrible days, weren't they? Maybe I don't miss the good old days. Reminds me of Opie on Andy Griffith having a problem with arithmetic. He said, I have to erase a lot. I get a hole in my paper and I had to start over. I bet me, I've done that before. He said, I like what he said. I think if they made better paper, I could do better. That sounds good to me, don't it, you? But I hate that you young people, you'll never get to experience some of those things. I was listening to some songs on my phone this morning, and a group from our church actually was singing at the Blue Ridge Baptist Camp Meeting in Mallory, North Carolina. They still have it 2 weeks every year. I think it's in June, maybe July. And, man, I thought about those good old camp meeting, tent meeting days that we used to have. But one of these days, we'll get to be out of here. Amen. My hope's not in America. I'm glad for America, aren't you?
Yes.
I'm thankful for it. There ain't anywhere else I want to live than America. But my hope's not in America. By the way, my hope's not in any particular president. I'm glad we got who we got rather than who else was available. And I really don't care if you put this on the radio because my name is Pastor Wilson. I won't take it any further than that. I won't give addresses and phone numbers. No, this is not Pastor Wilson. It's Ronnie Matthews. Teaching Sunday school. By the way, don't put none of this on nothing. Hey, when I pastored Brother Wilson, I liked to fly under the radar.
Yes.
Amen. I did. I didn't like to make a lot of community waves. Yep. I just like to fly under the radar, serve the Lord in gladness. Amen. Let somebody else do all of that. But number three, and I got to quit. We're close to time. It's going to be a good day. I do want to cover this one, number four. In verse 12, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Now, I thought about greater works than the works Jesus did. Well, didn't he heal the sick? Didn't he raise the dead? I don't think anybody in here has raised the dead or healed the sick. We pray for the healing of the sick. I'm not sure. I don't think I've ever prayed for the raising of the dead. I won't want to bring my loved ones back. But how is it that we could do greater works? And I read a comment. This is not an original thought. I read a commentator that said this. It really hit me. The works that we do are unbelievable because of who God uses. Think about that. I can understand Jesus doing all these great works. He was God, right? He was God. He was perfect. He was without sin. He had the power. But to use me, to use you, a sinful man, a sinful woman, to use, as Amazing Grace says, to use an old wretch like me to do the work of God, what an honor that is. How wonderful, how great that is. And so we can encourage, hey, the prospect of greater works, how amazing that God would use sinful man to carry out his plan. Man, we're blessed, aren't we? If you're saved, you're blessed. Hey, if you're not saved, you're blessed. Because you still got an opportunity to be saved.
Sorry.
God blesses even the unsaved man and woman. Hey, that John 14, That is a very encouraging chapter in his word. I would encourage you to read that sometimes and to study that. Not just read over it and think about it. There's other things in there that God has promised us that I didn't get to mention toward the end of the chapter. But, hey, David encouraged himself, didn't he? Sometimes we got to encourage ourselves. And Pam gives me good advice. And she tells me this often when I maybe get down or get negative or whatever. She said, look, you need to redirect your thoughts. So I go get a milkshake or a Frosty or some chocolate. No, we need to redirect our thoughts to the positive things in our life. And we're blessed. Brother Ed and I were talking back there, man, we're blessed that we can still get up and stand and walk and talk and hear, enjoy the good things of God. A lot of times we forget about all of that. We just take it for granted and we grumble about it because we can't walk as good as we used to, or we can't do this or can't do that. Just do what you can. Amen.